You know that meme where it's got the two buttons and the person can't pick? One of the buttons is stop all pronoun usage. The other button is encourage slurs. He's not gonna be looking at him and sweating. He's gonna go.
So today I clapped Peter's cheeks.
That's exactly what you did. We were taking a shower.
Is this appropriate?
I don't know.
I don't think it's appropriate.
I was turned around and ACD was going to clap my butt cheeks. And I was like, I don't know about that. I don't think that's going to. And then it happened.
Peter didn't think it would work. And it did.
It happened before I was done saying my sentence.
Yeah.
About how it wouldn't work.
Yeah. And so that's a lesson about judging or evaluating things before you interrogate them for real.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, it was more funny than anything else, but.
Oh, I got to see it.
Yeah, it was more fun for you, I think. Yeah. I didn't mind it, though. So Caleb made a book called, do you remember it's Satan at the Fountainhead? It's called International Bankers. The book. No, it's a title that references Ayn Rand and also Satan. But a lot of people think that because it talks about international bankers, that it is about Jewish people.
And it's about like Israel's involvement.
It is
like
about US Israel. Satellite state. Yeah, but it's also about them as a U.S. satellite state.
Right.
Which is different than talking about Judaism. So a Jewish friend of Caleb's, who was not me, this was years ago also, I didn't know Caleb at this time, expressed concerns about this book and said, you know, some of the imagery and language used sounds a little bordering on anti-Semitic. And Caleb's response to that was, I'm going to take the book off the market. I am not going to stand by this book, which the book explicitly is about finance capital. It's not about the Hebrew faith. It's not about Jewish people or any of that. It's about Israel as a satellite state to the United States Empire and international finance capital. That said, he felt that it doesn't represent his argument well. And I believe that that is the right thing to do if you believe that your argument is not being represented well by your own work. A lot of people argue this idea that because Caleb made this book, that Caleb is a fascist. This is an argument I've seen repeatedly from Sophie from Mars to ThoughtSlime to other idiots in that area. Going back to the butt cheek clapping, I asserted, I don't think that my butt cheeks can clap. And immediately was proven wrong. And I went back on it.
And you took that idea off the market.
I took that idea off the market and I don't stand by it anymore. And I don't think that I should be judged as somebody who doesn't think my butt cheeks will clap.
Yeah, let the record show.
If you put out an argument and you ultimately don't stand by it, you shouldn't be judged for that argument, especially if you put out another more refined version of that argument and direct people towards it, as well as take the other argument off of the market entirely. It's not fair to judge people in that way.
Peter not believing in the cheek clapping was actually a hate crime against queer people.
It was a hate crime against queer people, and I went back on it immediately. So anyway, I can clap my butt cheeks, and I don't stand by that argument. But tighten your buttholes, it's time for PACT. I'm the P. Peter Coffin, the lovely Miss Astronaut Cowboy Doctor. Right here is the ACD. Together, we are PACT. That's P-A-C-D, and it spells PACT, a word. Don't miss an episode. Like, comment, subscribe. Leave us a glowing review on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or whatever weird thing you use to listen to or watch podcasts. We are a 5-star podcast.
Not 3, not 4, 5! Fuck. I'm a 5-star man.
That fucked your throat up, didn't it?
Yeah.
Join our Discord. We hang out there all the time. We chat. We do some other fun stuff that you can access by becoming a patron. There's movie night. We also do a reading group, which is currently being self-moderated by people who read, but we are going to intervene in the summer and actually do readings together and work on study guides and all of that. There's also exclusive content and some content like very important documentaries, etc. You can see before anyone else. So help us keep the lights on by becoming a patron at patreon.com/PactPod. That's PACDPOD. We've also got fantastic Pact merch available too. King, I think, is going to make a comeback. This needs to come back. Your shirt also says King on it with the X in it. It's a fun little thing to say. Finally, tell your friends. We rely so big on word of mouth. He's back on Truth Social, everybody. We stream every Sunday. That's when we record the podcast. We thank you so much for tuning in. So Elon Musk bought Twitter.
No!
Everything is falling apart before our eyes. What will we do?
This is literally apartheid.
It is.
So how does that change the relations of who owns Twitter and who participates in it? It doesn't.
Yeah, it doesn't.
And that's kind of our main starting point. But we're going to talk about how it's different from how Twitter was previously owned, what it is now, and what the ramifications of that are.
Mm-hmm. So before Elon Musk bought Twitter, it was held by a variety of different sources. Primarily, however, it was held by large institutionalized finance capital, such as Vanguard and BlackRock. Now, those two names I am just bringing in to demonstrate the type of capital that is holding. It's not really particularly relevant. They don't do something markedly different from other institutionalized finance capital. They're large investment firms, hedge funds, etc., and they owned part of Twitter. Now, you've probably heard the term ad-friendly before. If you've used YouTube and you followed some person who likes to make even vaguely edgy jokes, they've complained about YouTube becoming an ad-friendly site.
Or if you've watched the Tegrity Farm season of South Park.
Yes, yes. That is also a good area.
See, I'm cool.
Yeah, you're hip. You're with it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So understanding that institutionalized finance capital owns an absolute ton of different businesses, ideas, intellectual property, it has a lot of different interests. The interest that it has in a media platform is to create an environment which is primed for as wide of a range of advertisements of many different types of businesses. Because as a business, which is ultimately invested in many other businesses, it is diffuse in terms of its interests.
Directly tied to financial assets.
Yes.
As the product per se.
And in that, it might have manufacturing interests. It might have service industry interests. I mean, you could name almost anything, and a large institutionalized finance capital firm, a large investment firm, likely has its fingers in it. And therefore, their interest in a media platform is to have an environment that is as friendly to as much of that business as is possible. And the thing is, they don't even have to own a company for them to be catering towards that type of interest. They just need to own a company in that sector. Like, if they own, and this is not something that BlackRock owns or Vanguard owns, I don't know, I don't have a list of what they own, but if one of them owned McDonald's, then they would be catering a space that is friendly to fast food, not just McDonald's. So what that creates is a situation where language is regulated and behavior is regulated in a way that creates that environment. So that's no longer the case. We are no longer in a situation where Twitter is owned in a diffuse manner. We're now in a situation where Twitter is owned by an individual capitalist. Again, this is not a situation in which the relations have changed. Twitter is a privately held entity. Before, when it was held by investment capital, they call that a public company, but it is not a public company. Like, that is an absurd sort of mislead that the modern stock market has integrated into it. An initial public offering, for instance, is not like the company saying, all right, we're nationalized. You guys all own us.
Yeah.
It's a situation where a company sells shares of itself to the public. It's still privately held.
And comparing people who buy a share versus the people who own the fucking company and all of its stock.
If you own a large minority interest or a majority interest, enough of an interest in the company that your vote actually swings the policy of that company, that's when I would consider you a real owning stake in the company. Like, if you bought a single share of Twitter, you are not an owner of Twitter.
Obviously.
A lot of people like to think that's the case. It's not true. So while in the capitalist sense, it has gone from public to private, it's been private the whole time. The only difference is now an individual owns it.
An individual industrial capitalist.
Yes.
So in a diffuse system of finance capital that is spread out across investments throughout the imperial monopoly capital world. Mm-hmm. We have an individual industrial capitalist who is operating in the context of his own brain rather than the material incentives that direct non-sentient monopoly capital entity behaviors.
Yeah, which are run by boards of people who are ultimately kind of acting as checks and balances with each other, having discussions about what will maximize the profits of the company.
Right.
Ultimately, in a lot of cases, counteracting any one individual's ideology.
The sum is greater than the whole of
exactly.
Its parts. The gestalt of a board of capitalists. It has nothing to do with the ideological morality or the ideals or personal principles of any of the constituent capitalists involved in the decision making.
Well, yeah. And it's not just down to the decision makers either, because they're also not acting specifically in their own interests, but rather as a board, they're ostensibly working in the interests of all of the shareholders.
Right.
Now, is that necessarily what they're really doing? No, but that's sort of an ideology that says your responsibility is to maximize profits regardless of what you think is right.
You're always answering to the shareholders.
Exactly. Yeah. So now that Elon Musk owns Twitter, we're in a different situation. We just explained how a decision is made in that situation. Now the decision is going to be made by Elon Musk, by a guy, by a dude. He doesn't have to care about profit. I'm sure that he will, but he doesn't have to. If he wants to buy Twitter and have it be a toy, it can. He can do that. A board that is representing an institutionalized finance capital entity cannot do that.
We were talking about this today because I was like, the way that you're framing this, Peter, makes it sound like there's going to be just like an individual, like Elon Musk is just going to make every single decision about Twitter and there's no like board involved. And like, that's not necessarily true, but if he wants to,
yes,
he is the only shareholder in the company.
He could run the damn thing into the ground if he thought it was fun.
Yeah. Grinning devilishly as he turns up the knob labeled slurs.
Elon's going to get into the Twitter control room and he's going to do that Grinch smile where the hair splits on the top of his head. And he's going to turn up that knob labeled slurs.
And the pronoun suck knob.
Yeah, he's going to turn down the pronouns knob. He's going to turn up the slurs knob and it's going to be like, you're a mean one, Mr. Musk.
Wow. That is a good voice.
You know that meme where it's got the two buttons and the person can't pick? And one of the buttons is stop all pronoun usage. The other button is encourage slurs. He's not going to be looking at him and sweating. He's going to go.
I like the all pronoun usage, like not even like saying what your pronouns are.
No, you can't even use regular pronouns. He's done with pronouns.
But yeah, he's not legally bound to profits. Whereas the public format of a financial investment capital is.
That is the key difference. The relations, however, are not. Again, it's still privately held. It's still capital. The profits are not going to be socialized. The production is obviously socialized. And that goes between both the employees of Twitter as well as all of the users of Twitter, which are actually doing unpaid labor for Twitter in helping create this environment that is either ad friendly or whatever Elon Musk wants it to be. So Peter Buffett is not going to like Twitter anymore because all the pronouns are just going to be gone and he can't use his us to we thing.
Yeah.
But Peter Buffett is actually a good analog. So Peter Buffett is the son of Warren Buffett, who Berkshire Hathaway is one of those institutionalized finance capital firms. It is an investment firm, and that's the money that funds Novo.
Right.
He's granted money from the Berkshire Hathaway Fund to run Novo.
And I mean, I guess if you go to Elon Musk to the Emerald mining.
Yes,
shit,
absolutely.
That's technically same. Finance investment similar. Capital as well.
Very so, similar.
And that goes to show that finance capital in this late stage of imperialism is the mergence between industrial and finance.
100%.
Industrial and bank capital to create finance capital. So that's all of those things are interconnected. At the same time, we're looking at Peter Buffett and Elon Musk as these individual, primarily industrial capitalists in the way that they operate in their own enterprises as being similar to one another and in contrast to these diffuse, larger finance investment capital systems that previously owned Twitter.
Yes. But ultimately, Peter Buffett uses that money as essentially the owner / controlling interest of Novo. And he acts unilaterally and undemocratically according to his own specifications and dictates the policies and the programs of Novo Foundation, which if you've paid attention to Fox and Alex of Space Commune, which, by the way, we were on an episode of recently and you should all go and listen to it because it's on Tibet and Buddhism and how self-immolation is kind of an anti-communist practice, and it integrates into a lot of ideological things that are going on right now.
Yeah, listen, don't kill yourself.
Yeah, agreed. But they've also done a ton of work on the Novo Foundation because it operates and essentially owns the city they live in, which is Kingston, New York.
Yeah, it's like if a self-identifying socialist billionaire, like people say, like, what if, like, a lot of people are saying this right now, Elon Musk should have used that $44 billion to solve world hunger. And it's like, what that prospect looks like is what Peter Buffett is doing in Kingston.
Exactly.
Where he is going into, as he describes it, going into a community and spreading his tentacles in it. And
I can't believe he said that.
Like a hurricane. Where he uplifts everything in the town.
He compared his nonprofit to a hurricane blasting through this city.
Yeah.
He's really got to watch how he expresses himself more.
That's what it is. It's, I think most of me believes that like Peter Buffett is a very well-intentioned person.
Most likely. Yeah. And it would be good to reduce the Earth's population by half.
Yeah.
It would be merciful.
We don't even have to get into that, but The consequence of that is a completely permissive mode wherein your life, your ability to eat, be housed, have a job, self-actualize is all contingent on a billionaire.
Yeah. You are relying on the good king.
Yeah. Which doesn't fucking work. And we cover this in another episode on what is happening in Kingston. How the Novo Foundation has ravaged the town, despite however good or positive Peter Buffett's intentions are. And that's kind of the thing that we're dealing with here on Twitter, except it's not in the form of town.
And it's a completely permissive mode. The relations don't change. This is still owned by a capitalist. We are doing unpaid labor by operating on the website. The silver lining, and I think that's a good way to put it.
That's probably the best
silver lining.
Because we don't want to rely on the good king to make the right decision.
Right. The silver lining is that he's a free speech absolutist and also committed to open science, I guess, about the algorithm.
Yeah. The way that this is, in my opinion, a development with a silver lining is not necessarily that I think Elon Musk has good ideals. It's that I think he has exploitable ideals. I don't think that Elon Musk becoming the sole owner of Twitter is a good thing. I don't like the idea of literally a single person having their hand on the switch on or off. Are you able to express yourself on this platform? I think that's a precarious position. However, the switch was already set it off and he wants to turn it on. Mm-hmm. Now, does that mean he's always going to want to have it on? I don't know. He may change his mind in 10 years. That'll be his decision to make, and that's the whole problem. However, at this moment, for the third day in a row, I have gained followers on Twitter. I also previously could not switch my profile over to a professional profile. And the reason for this that I was given after contacting Twitter repeatedly about it was that at one point I was suspended and that suspension affected it. Now, I had gotten suspended quite a while before the professional profile thing came up. It was a 24-hour suspension, fairly mild. It was for language.
You said cunt.
I said cunt. I have been for 2 years straight losing followers every day on Twitter. This is because for 2 years, I have been a problem in Twitter's eyes. I have been deprioritized in their algorithm. I have been shadow banned at times. Like I've looked up in the little shadow ban detector thing, which is, I think, shadowban.eu. It will tell you if Twitter is hiding your replies. I didn't complain about it, though, because I know that people complaining about it are treated like lunatics. You think that Twitter is holding you back? Meanwhile, you see featured users and like under like philosophy, Zoe Baker gets to say like anything and it's regarded as Marxism. But like they can promote people, but the idea that they would demote people, that's absurd. That's conspiracy theory. No, it's true. They do that. Just as the algorithm boosts some users, it also deprioritizes others. I was deprioritized.
Me too. Okay.
But anyway, I have people say all the time, you have so many followers and you get so little engagement. Are all the followers bots? It's like, well, if they were all bots, don't you think I'd get tons of engagement? Don't you think I would set those bots up to engage with my posts? No, it's not showing my fucking posts to my followers. And now suddenly it is. I've gotten multiple replies from people saying things like, I forgot you existed. Why are you showing up again? I've literally gotten posts.
That's
like
funny.
I sent one to...
we haven't talked about... Sometimes Peter like doesn't tell me things because they know it will make me feel bad.
Yeah, that's true. But I've gained followers for 3 days in a row. I'm able to switch my profile over to professional. And I'm not the only one. Andrew of Socialism Train could not switch the Socialism Train profile over to professional and was able to at the exact same time that I was able to. Now, the reason for this, we're theorizing, is that there is perhaps some form of an audit going on to make Twitter look more along the lines of what Elon Musk wants as he is purchasing it. And let's just go ahead and say this. A lot of employees are neutral to how Twitter works. They don't give a shit. They get a paycheck to work at this company and likely want to appear to be on the side of the new owner.
Yeah.
Something has changed. What I am proposing is not that suddenly this platform is friendly towards communists or suddenly Elon Musk is pro-communist because he is not. He is anti-communist. He is not going to be a friend to us at any point. However, this doofus believes that the antidote to bad speech, and in this case, he would categorize pro-communist rhetoric as bad speech, he believes the antidote to it is more speech. Now, I don't know that I agree with that, and I don't know that I care. Because I am not an owner of a big capitalist platform, and I frankly don't give a shit. I give a shit if I'm able to spew communist shit at people who don't hear it on a regular basis. That's all I care about. But our man thinks that the way to stop me and the way to stop other communists is to allow other people to argue with us rather than to hide us.
Yeah.
And I am asserting that that is incorrect, for one. Hiding us, I think, was doing a better job, to be frank.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that was stupid as fuck.
But we need to exploit this.
Yeah.
This is a situation that we need to take full assessment of. We need to experiment in. We need to push the limits as far as we can go and find out what we can do. And what we can do, we need to do repeatedly. Because we need to be not only organizing offline and in the real world, like with CPI and SPA, we need to be getting people out of the paradigm that social media has created for people over the last decade.
Yeah, and I don't want to fucking hear it's just Twitter, it's just social media. Because that is such a naive and stupid stance.
It's so reductive
about
and dumb.
Political messaging to think that, like, in the 21st century, what is communicated on social media isn't the most goddamn important thing.
Well, yeah, it's the thing that is repeated everywhere else in the media. It's literally the trend setting place. Like, there's a fucking column that says trends, and that's what everybody talks about for a week.
Yeah.
Everybody, not just everybody on Twitter, everybody on Fox News and MSNBC and CNN, they all follow that. You go on Stephen Colbert or watch, if for some reason you're a glutton for punishment, watch James Corden. Go ahead. You'll see that it follows the Twitter trends. So anyway, we cannot look at Elon Musk as on our side. The idea of that is completely absurd. So if anybody has got that in their heads, don't. He's not based. He's not whatever. I'm sure there will be people that say that. He's not based. Some things that he does are going to be good for us, but they're not even intended to be good for us.
Right.
They're intended to beat us because he believes in these goofy things. Like, he is, again, he's an individual who believes in these ideas. He's a guy who thinks that he's built on his own a car company, a space company, and all this stuff. If you talk to this guy, he thinks he's self-made.
Yeah. So, main points. Elon Musk buying Twitter does not change the capital relations of owning Twitter and how we as consumers, but also unpaid laborers on the site, use it. A good parallel, though, from the shift of being owned in this diffuse finance investment capital model with its product being investment in money across places rather than one singular industrial capitalist.
The merging of a lot of industrial interests.
Right. Is the concept of Twitter being controlled by a person's own individual ideals, personal morals, akin to how Peter Buffett is running Kingston.
Mm-hmm.
And that's still a permissive mode.
Yes.
At the same time, Elon Musk's personal ideals that are now pervading at this time, what he says in Twitter is going to be, they're exploitable. And that is a silver lining at best.
Mm-hmm.
Still not great. It's a silver lining.
And it's not an opportunity he's intentionally presenting us either. Again, his beliefs are that he is actually going to screw us with this.
Right.
Which is, to be clear, wonderful.
His intentions are not even good.
Yeah. He is just a man with his intentions that are bad.
Yeah.
And we hope to exploit those intentions. That can't be the end.
And that's it for Pact. Thanks again for watching or listening. I'm Peter. This is Miss Astronaut Cowboy Doctor. To help us out, click like, follow, subscribe, join our Discord, leave us 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. To support us, become a patron at patreon.com/pactpod. That's PACDPOD. Thanks so much. Come back next week.